Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Lutherans, we confess that the Bible is the Word of God. That does not mean that it simply contains the Word of God. It does not allow us to pick and choose what we believe in our current culture is the Word of God and isn't. Rather, we are bound to it completely. And when the Bible says things that our current culture doesn't like, it doesn't really matter to us. We know that our culture, our world, will not judge us on the last day. Rather, God will. And that on that day, as we heard this very night, we must give an account. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So on that day, do we want to be found before God Almighty, the King of all creation, and say, God, you just don't understand. I wanted people to like me. Will that be enough to save ourselves? The answer, of course, is no. On that day, when we give an account, we will recognize that we have not earned salvation. We have not earned heaven by our own works, by our own deeds. No, we have failed him. We have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed. What we have done and what we have left undone. The Bible is God's word, and it is powerful. We need to believe that. The Word of God spoke all things into creation. The Word of God joins body and blood to bread and wine. It joins the Word and God's gifts in the waters of holy baptism. The Word is what is necessary to bring people to life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yes, there is power in the Scriptures. They are God's Word. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, in his proper time, took on flesh, was born of a virgin, and then took all of our sins upon himself. That word is powerful. It is living. And when I say it is a living doctrine, it is a living written down account, I do not mean that as we change, we can change the meaning. I mean that it is life. There is life in the words of Jesus Christ. There is life to be found in the words repent and believe and be baptized. There is life in the fact that Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' word is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. God's word contains both the law and the gospel. The law, which shows us that we are damned sinners in need of salvation, in need of a Savior. And then the fact that God has done it all for us. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, the sins of the whole world. We don't receive it because we've earned it. We don't receive it because we deserve it, because of count of who we are not the greatest. And yet he gives it to us by his grace. When you are stuck in the temptations of your life and you feel like nobody understands what you are going through, take these words that St. Paul writes to the Hebrews and take them to your heart. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus spent 40 days after his baptism being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He spent those 40 days without eating. He spent those 40 days meditating on the word of God and in prayer. The devil attacked him with everything that the devil attacks each and every one of you, and myself included. And yet, when we fail, he did not. Where we break the law of God, he does not. Jesus, our high priest, is sinless. Take that into your hearts and recognize that when you have temptation, the thing that you should do is fall down on your knees in prayer. God will see you through the temptation. God will open a door and a path out of that temptation. The scriptures are clear on that. He who knew no sin became sin for us. The disciples, as brothers in the faith, would wrestle with each other. They would want to know who the greatest is. Surely St. Peter might say things like, well, you know, I'm the rock. Jesus gave me a new name. I'm in his inner circle. If anybody's the greatest, it's either going to be me, James, or John. The disciples would argue over this. Jesus knew their arguments, and he asks them, what were you talking about? They're unwilling to admit it. And maybe we should give consideration to that too, knowing that Jesus knows all of our thoughts, knows all of our deeds. But too often we think as long as nobody else does, then nobody knows. As though Jesus doesn't really matter. They become afraid to talk about it. So Jesus says, so that you know, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, but on the third day he will rise. This is not the only time that Jesus tells his disciples, these men who have followed him for 3 years, that he would be betrayed, that he would be put to death, but on the third day he would rise. But they don't get it, and they won't get it until after Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus says, do you want to know who the greatest is? And he takes a little child, and he holds that little child in his arms. One of my favorite parts of being a pastor is being able to hold a lot of babies, especially as I get to be the instrument by which the Holy Spirit grants them new life, grants them the adoption as sons of God Almighty. There is just something to holding a precious child in your arms, to see such weakness and such frailty, but to see such beauty, beauty that has been knit together by God Almighty. There's something beautiful to each and every individual life that is held there. You can tell a lot about a person about how they treat children. Do they loathe them? Do they desire them not to be alive? The one that receives one of these little children receives me, Jesus said, and receives not only me, but him who sent me, receives the Father, receives the Father's eternal doctrine. A child cannot fend for himself. A child cannot feed himself or nurture himself. That little baby needs help. And as that baby relies mostly on his mother, we rely on God. We cannot earn salvation for ourselves. We must trust that we will be provided for, that we will be protected, that we will receive life, that we will be fed and nourished. As a child looks lovingly at mother and father, and trust that they don't have to worry about where the next meal comes from, even though they act like they'll never get fed again. We give thanks to God for the gift of life, for the gift of children, for the joy that they bring into our lives, even though there are hardships too. he who receives one with this childlike faith, receiving one that relies completely on God Almighty, not as one who refuses to grow in the faith, but as one who trusts in God, who fears God, and who loves God above all things. Jesus Christ went to the cross for the sins of his disciples, for the sins of the people in this church, for my sins, and for the sins of all people outside of these walls as well. Faith in that saves because of God's grace. Hear the word of God living inside each and every one of you. Let it build you up in faith, in hope, and in love. Amen. The church sings, God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way. In death it is our stay. Lord, grant while worlds endure, we keep its doctrine pure throughout all generations. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.